spotlight under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Folkestone at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and the discussion each and every day as we face the issues coming out of the hurricane, storm, weather front, whatever you would like to call it. I'm praying that all under the listening in our listening audience, they're doing well, looking forward to what God is going to do in the future, and thanking the Lord for life and health and strength that He's provided for us. Praying for the families that have lost loved ones. I'm told that about 93 people have died as a result of the hurricane that has gone through, coming into the Gulf Coast and going right on up through the Northeast into North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of bad news coming out of that area. I understand that out of the approximately 93 that have lost their lives in the hurricane over the last several days, about 50 of those been in Tennessee and North Carolina. Devastation in that area. I've been watching the news very carefully and looking at the responses and the reports coming out of there. So we're talking about today what I'm simply calling the top news from a biblical worldview. And three things in the top news that I believe needs to grasp our attention, that we need to be concerned about. We'll talk about the storm, we'll talk about the election, and we'll talk about Israel and World War III. Those are the three things that I believe is the top of the news today, and I believe we need to recognize what is happening in each of those categories. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? For example, with the major hurricane, with the major weather front, with the major devastation, why is this happening? What is God doing? Is it climate change? Is it El Nino? What's causing these destructive, devastating events? Is God asleep? Is God still on the throne? Are we watching? Is it the potentiality that we're watching the hand of God trying to get our attention as a nation? We'll talk about that. And I believe that as we look at it from a central biblicist worldview, it'll give us a totally different perspective on what is taking place. And so as we face the issues each and every day, we do so looking at the scripture. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a verification, a declaration of what the scripture is about. John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, we can look at presidents can come and go, nations can rise and fall, but the word of without ever being out of date, without ever needing to have an update or modification or change. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I think that we are in era where we keep doing modern updates, modern versions of the scripture. Let me just use an example. If you've got an original, you make a photocopy of it. By the way, it's not as true today as it was in yesteryear when you were using the thermal paper to make photocopies. In that era, before we had the plain copy paper copiers as we have today, you take an original to put it on the photocopier that had the thermal paper, and then if you make a copy of that thermal paper copy, and then you do that four or five times, you got a very weak image. That's what takes place when you have the modern translations with a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You have a watered-down dribble and not the real truth of the Word of God. I'm concerned when we see these things happening. We need to go back to the truth of the Word of God. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an era when truth is rejected. Truth is there's a repulsion over truth. I go back to the secularist George Orwell. In the dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell said, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that being promulgated across our nation today. We'll talk about in part of the dialogue and discussion today. John Kerry just said that we need to eliminate the freedom of speech, our First Amendment rights, in order to have government control over information, so it's not disinformation and misinformation. Yes, he said it. I'm going to read that article on the broadcast today. We need to understand that we're in dire times, difficult days, leading up to about 30 days plus before the election, with four or five states being decimated by the storm. Question that I'm going to ask during this broadcast, how will that affect the election? How will that affect those having the ability to get out and travel and go to vote? How will that affect those that are having the voting precincts? Will they be available in all states and all cities and counties? Will this be an emergency that will prevent Christians from going out and voting? Will this be an emergency scenario that will cause conservatives to simply say, "I can't go vote because of this, this, or this"? I'm asking the questions. Love to hear your dialogue and discussion on it as we face the issues in this broadcast today. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, DeMint said this, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." And yet we find the latest survey about younger Americans and the handling of truth. Headline: most younger Americans today say there's no absolute truth. In that article, it states 55% of America's millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. Is that true? Are there different versions of truth? Is it possible that if we take a half-truth that is a whole lie? I say absolutely it is. And we find that taking place in a proliferating fashion across the nation today. This is the reason you have government-controlled media, the socialist Marxist media. You have those that are telling things that are absolutely untrue, and yet doing so to win the election. As Bernie Sanders said that Kamala Harris is pragmatic. She's just simply saying what needs to be said to get elected. That's his words, and he's exactly right. That's what Kamala Harris is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's a tall order. It's a difficult task. But I believe it's the task, even through the difficulties, that honors God, is that we seek the truth. And you won't find the truth on the Communist Network News. You will not find the truth in the Marxist media. You will not find the truth most of the time in what we're seeing today in the election process, especially from the left, where the Communist Party is trying to put their candidate, Kamala Harris, into office. Yes, I said it, And that's a fact, and we'll talk about it in this broadcast today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, let me remind you that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just one more moment in a brief portion of the monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call, join in the dialogue and discussion on the issues of today. Ladies and gentlemen, our world and our nation, our cities, are facing some very serious issues in what I call biblical proportions. Now, I'm not talking about biblical proportions. I'm talking about things that you see that has happened in the Scripture and things that the Scripture talks about shall happen in the eschatological prophetic future in our nation and around the globe. We're now facing, ladies and gentlemen, at least looking at, as I said a moment ago, at least 93 people, perhaps more, that have lost their lives in the hurricane. Ladies and gentlemen, the hurricane that entered into the United States of America and the Gulf Coast going into Cedar Key and that general area at Category 4. And we understand the property damages are about $100 billion now. Let that sink in a moment. About $100 billion as of last Friday. But ladies and gentlemen, far more than the property damages are the human tragedies, the sufferings. And may I say, just consider what is said about Cedar Key. It was completely decimated, according to our governor. I'm looking at the headline. Completely obliterated. Governor DeSantis says Hurricane Helene damages worse than Idalia. Florida's Governor DeSantis said Hurricane Helene, monumental storm surge, caused far greater damage than last year's Idalia. Clearly, you saw storm surges exceeding 15 feet, DeSantis said in his report. So that is much, much more significant than what we've seen in recent storms that hit certainly more than Debbie and Idalia, and that is really, really destructive. He said some of the damage he saw while flying over the affected coastline on 27th of September, Cedar Key was completely obliterated. Ladies and gentlemen, that's sad, but that is just a little teensy tip of the iceberg of what is seen taking place across America today with the human tragedy. The human tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, that completely destroyed Cedar Key and throughout Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina. We'll still have hundreds of thousands in some of those states that are without power. We still have, ladies and gentlemen, today perhaps millions with no clean water to drink. North Carolina, Tennessee, I-40, according to the latest news, is clipped in two and about two different places. I-40 is not, you cannot traverse I-40. They're saying stay off I-40 up in that area. I-26 having washed out in two different places on I-26. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been there, and I can tell you, I-26 and I-40, if you cannot travel I-26 and I-40, you can't go very far up into the mountains in Tennessee. You can't go very far into the state of North Carolina if those major avenues are cut off. And the officials in those two states are, as of today, pleading with people, stay out of North Carolina and that part of Tennessee because of the ability to travel. Some of those cities are still underwater and mudslides and mud several feet deep as a result of the tragedy that had taken place. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is the top of the news from a biblical worldview. And there are three things, the storm, the election, and Israel, that we'll talk about. So if you want to jump in the dialogue and discussion on any one of those three particular areas that will affect, I believe, in a very negative fashion, will affect our election that's coming up in about 35 days. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I know you're blessed because you're here. And I appreciate your radio comments. But I tell you, if anybody votes for this, supposed to be vice president, and my wife pulled up, her husband is part Jewish. So she went to that man, President Trump. Ask her about why she wasn't there when he came over to talk to the Senate. She wasn't there. She was with her sisters. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, Kenneth, let me just take a moment, and I'll cover this a little further in the broadcast, but simply to put your mind at ease as to what you're saying and the weight of it for our listeners. I'm looking at a headline that says, History of Kamala's Family. Kamala Harris's father was an avowed Marxist professor in the economics department of Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. Both Harris' parents were active in the Berkeley-based Afro-American Association. Fidel Castro and Guevara, who were the heroes of the African-American Association, the group's leaders. They created the Maoist-inspired Black Panther Party, who gained strong support for the communist Chinese. The Black Panther Party served as the model for the creation of the Black Lives Matter Marxist organization, went on to arrange financing and facilitated the Barack Hussein Obama to be accepted as a student and matriculated at Harvard Law School. Following her graduation from college, Harris returned to California and subsequently became the mistress of the 60-year-old married speaker of the California Assembly, Willie Brown. Brown's political campaigns, and it goes on and on. But the bottom line is, she is saturated in socialism, Marxism, communism, and she continues to say, if there's anything that you could call an element of truth, she continues to say she's not left her roots, she's not left her policies, she's not abandoned her positions, and she hasn't. It is being shrouded in a lie in order for her to get in, if possible, to totally turn the switch and turn America into a socialist, Marxist, communist nation. That's my opinion. That's my position. What say you?
The same thing, Dr. Youngblood. Exactly what you just said. I'm going to tell you. If people cannot see that, I think it's in Jeremiah, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yep.
And we're going to be destroyed for a lack of
knowledge. Kenneth, the bottom line is, from the standpoint in Psalms 146:3, says, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Now, yes, we need to vote. We need to vote for a president that's going to try to salvage America, if possible, at this journey and this juncture. But at the same time, our faith and our trust and confidence ought to be in God and not in man. But we have the responsibility, the opportunity, and the privilege of voting, and therefore we need to vet the candidates to know what the candidates stand for, or we're in trouble as a nation. We need to recognize that, and we need to stand for truth and honor God in that. It is a fact, for example, in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And Kenneth, you've heard me say many times before in this broadcast, I believe America's in the state of mourning. I believe in not just the state of mourning because of the weather, not just the state of mourning because of the hurricanes, etc., but the state of mourning because of what we see taking place, that it's been promulgated, pushed in, on Americans through the Oval Office, and now through the deception of the Biden-Harris or the Harris-Biden administration. I'm concerned, and I'm concerned, Kenneth, right at this very moment, with what these hurricane devastations in our cities and states across America, what effect that's going to have on people getting out to vote. Do you think it will hinder the vote? Will you think it will stop it? What do you, in your opinion, and I'll let you go, in your opinion, what weight will this have in people turning out to vote on either side of the aisle?
Yes, I think it is. But that, I remember seeing a documentary about 2,000 Mules, about the ballot boxes, you know, the drop-off ballot boxes.
Right.
They're going to try to steal this election again. They really are.
Well, you know, several states have already had court fights in relationship to the legality of the drop-off boxes for the ballots to go in it. They've already had several state cases in court scenarios as to the legality of having ballot harvesting, where people will go into nursing homes and retirement centers and gather up ballots and get the old folks to sign the dotted line, and then they fill out the ballot and put their candidate's name in there regardless of what the person voting wanted to vote for. That if we think that's passed, we're fooling ourselves. That is very prevalent. That is taking place. Yeah. This is the reason, Kenneth, that so many of our blue states, that is the leftist Marxist leaning states, want to have early voting. Some voting will start, has already started in some states, and the state of Florida will start, what is it, October the 20th, with early voting in this state, and I'm opposed to it. I personally believe we need to have a federal holiday on the election day. Everything is to be closed on that day, and everybody gets out and votes on that single day. And at midnight that night, it's required to have the returns so that we know who was elected. It doesn't drag out for weeks and weeks and sometimes more than several weeks to know who we have elected. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer and our concentration and our stand on truth and asking God to divinely intervene in this election. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, throughout the state of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, we still have major, major, major areas that are closed. Asheville, North Carolina, for example, ladies and gentlemen, announced they're pleading on the news this morning, 6:30, 7 o'clock news. They're pleading for people to stay away. Don't come into the state of North Carolina. Stay out of Asheville. And I'm told that in the area of Northeast Tennessee, due to most of the bridges being out, some people cannot get to the store. Some people, in fact, many in that area, North Carolina, the northeast portion of North Carolina, many of them, hundreds of thousands, still have no electricity. Hundreds, if not thousands, still have no potable water to drink because of the flooding. In fact, in Irving, I believe it was Irving, Tennessee, an entire hospital was flooded. All of the patients and the doctors and the medical staff had to evacuate to the roof of the building, wait for helicopters to rescue them, transport them out of the flood area. Bridges totally washed completely out during the course of the last several days. It deserves our prayer. It deserves our attention. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, what part is God playing in that? I noticed one of the commentators said about Mother Nature, and you can't fight Mother Nature, etc. Is it Mother Nature or Father God? Are we witnessing these things happening? Does God have a purpose and a plan? Absolutely, yes. Unequivocally, he has a purpose and a plan in what is taking place. These areas, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is possible that God is speaking. I believe it's possible that God is speaking, but are we listening? Are we listening? We can go back to the scripture, and the scriptures proliferate with illustrations of Israel rebuffing God, rejecting God, refusing to follow God's directive, killing the prophets, disobeying God, living their own life, going their own ways. And each and every time, God would bring about a catastrophic event in the life of Israel to get Israel to turn about and recognize, repent, and return to God. Now, perhaps you differ. Perhaps you disagree with that. That's my opinion based on the Word of God. And I believe it is valid theologically, doctrinally, eschatologically. And I believe that we can affirm the fact that God's hand is in. God's not impotent. God's not on vacation. God's not dead. God's not sick. God's not sitting on the front colonnade, front porch of heaven in a rocking chair looking down saying, oh my, it's a shame that I can't do anything about the condition of America or the condition of the world. God is still in control. God is still trying to get our attention. And ladies and gentlemen, for a nation like America, that we've banned the Bible, that we've banned prayer, that we now are murdering the hundreds of millions of babies, now that we've simply decided that we're going to butcher healthy baby parts and call it the transgender surgeries, God is not going to be mocked. God is going to have the final say so. And I believe what we're witnessing today, as harsh as it might sound, I believe we're witnessing the hand of God saying, I want your attention. Look to me. Listen to me. I believe it's the progressive introduction of God's judgment on a nation that's turned our backs on God. I believe we're witnessing that today. And ladies and gentlemen, in what we're witnessing with the storm clouds coming, with the hurricanes on. Listen, there's another hurricane, too, that's just coming off the tip of South Africa that's in the Atlantic. We have one that's now approaching our Gulf again. And they say that it will probably take the same track that Helene took as it comes into full force. They said to be the latter part of this week. Now, the question is, can our 48 lower 48 states, can we tolerate, can we stand, can we survive another storm as we just witnessed with Helene? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Will God do that? I don't know. I'm praying that he doesn't, but it's the hand of God. It's not El Nino. It's not global warming. It's not climate change that's causing this. It's the hand of God. So may I say, ladies and gentlemen, a review of the Old Testament, we see God would punish Israel for her disobedience and rebellion, but then in repentance and returning to God, God would bless Israel. God would provide for the apple of God's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God's getting our attention because we rejected God. I believe God's trying to get our attention because we have banned the Bible. I believe God's trying to get our attention because of the murder by way of abortion that is taking place today. I believe God's trying to get our attention because of those that we have running for office that I believe will completely decimate, destroy our constitutional republic if Kamala Harris goes into office with the laughing personality that she has, cackling, I call it Kamala, and with Tim Walz that wants to be the VP. By the way, the VP debate will be tomorrow night, I understand. I'm prayerful that the ones that are hosting the debate will give two of them open mics, turn the mics on, and sit back and watch the debate and not have the intervention of the moderators trying to change or trying to question what J.D. Vance might say. Ladies and gentlemen, we have turned our backs on God, and now I believe he's basically, if you want to put it this way, turning his back on America. I believe he is releasing his progressive hand of his judgment on a nation that said no to God. So Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which call my name, will humble themselves, confess their sins, turn from their wicked ways, and seek God's face, he said, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land. That's what we need today. And I believe God's getting our attention through that. And by the way, not just the weather scenario, the storm, but we're going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, what's going to take place in relationship to Israel and what Israel is doing and what the Bible says about Israel and the future of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.